Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Patty Jenkins is talking a lot about Wonder Woman. Sarian Hines is talking about Steppenwolf. And Melissa Rauch is talking like Harley today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Welcome, friends, fans, lovers of the all things DC Universe. Look at us with our brand new logo kicked off, brought to us just as we finished the show last week.
Yeah,
we
thank got you, this Steve great Lemieux.
New logo. Thank you, Steve Lemieux, for your fantastic new logo. Look at this. We're all over. You could find the new logo on our iTunes thing, on our YouTube, in the studio. How's it going, everyone? I'm Adam Gertler. This is DC Movie News on the Popcorn Talk Network. Joining me today are two familiar faces and lovely ladies in their own right. Hostess, cosplayer, podcasting maven, dressing like Harley today. That'll be relevant in a moment. Miss Elena Jordan, welcome.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me back.
Every week, girl.
It's going to be
You're
here.
Coming every week. We're bringing you back.
Did stuff just fall?
I think I just knocked my phone down. I got so excited. I just threw the phone on the ground.
And of course, the crown jewel of the DC Movie News universe, Miss Roxy Stryer is here.
Mwah, 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 mwah. All the kisses.
All the kisses. Take it in. Take in that side of the table, that lovely side of the table.
Adam, you got an interesting energy to you today.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
I don't know. Like a DC kind of maybe dark and gritty, but
it is a little,
a little bit of a smile energy. I'm kind of digging it.
It is a darker energy. That's kind of funny because just before I came here, I was watching a little film called Justice League Dark. And funny story, I tweeted out on our Twitter today, because that's where you tweet the things.
Yes,
I said, hey, who saw Judas Contract? Because that came out like yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Tuesday.
So.
And
today? Thursday?
Today's Thursday. So I was going to go watch it before today, and then I saw it was on demand, but it was like $20. I'm like, I never watch these things more than once. I want to rent it. And then I was like, oh, I still have never seen Justice League Dark. And I rented that. And that was awesome.
Cool.
It was awesome because it was like an episode of Constantine. Same voice actor from Constantine. And it was Constantine-centric. Except he's chilling with Swamp Thing and Batman and Zatanna and Deadman and Etrigan.
And we know how you feel about Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing was actually great. They used Swamp Thing in it just like the Hulk.
I'm so surprised
you
like Swamp Thing.
I love your, really? In unison right there? No, they used him like the Hulk because he's this big green enforcer that they only use, they just use a Susan here and there. You know, and it's really focused on like magic, and Batman's like, I don't believe in magic that much.
Are you ready for an amazing comment from the chat?
Yeah.
Tim Cogan says, Adam Gertler got that long dong swagger today. I don't know what that means. So to describe,
well, there you go.
Describe your energy and your description of Justice League Dark.
I guess so.
Long
I got
dong
that,
swagger.
That yeah. kind of swagger.
Also my new band name.
Yes. See Elena playing the tambourine in Long Dong Swagger. She'll be at Gypsy Rose this weekend in Santa Monica.
Sure.
So yeah, so that was awesome. I haven't seen the Judas Contract, but we heard from a lot of people mostly saying that they really liked it.
Yeah, especially in the chat right now. People are blowing up about it. I haven't seen it yet either, and I have the same problem you do. 20 is a lot.
For
something that you watch once or twice.
Kind of, yeah. I don't tend to watch the animated ones as much. As the movies, I need that sweet Blu-ray of anything that comes out movie-wise. But the animated ones, and they're so great, and they're so consistently adult in tone right now. Like, they're all a solid PG-13 minimum, like, with their language and tone.
Some sensuality, definitely.
There's definitely some sensuality. Mm-hmm. This one also played Justice League Dark, anyway, played a lot like a kind of Doctor Strange. You know, there's a lot of similarities in, like, there's magicians, but it's darker. I mean, it's a darker side of magic. So I started thinking about what a dark universe film could look like in DC. And, you know, before anybody bites my head off about like, well.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 nine-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Batman v Superman was dark. It's like, no, it's not about a movie can or can't be dark. It's just gotta, you know, it's gotta be right for what it is. And obviously Justice League Dark should be freaking dark. Mm-hmm. And as much as I love Doctor Strange, I could see a DC movie that deals with magic being very different.
And I would love to see somebody who's already in the DC maybe direct something like that, like a James Wan.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people, and this is something I've been so up on Doctor Strange, but because I love the sort of philosophy and the religiosity of it, but you know, we were talking about like Scott Derrickson, and he's this horror guy, and I love the visuals in Doctor Strange.
Of course, how could
but
you
there
not?
Was no dark demonic flavor. There was none of that real horror thing, which I really feel like, you know, Guillermo would have been interesting if he would have stayed on that project, you know?
Which is funny because people who always refer to Guillermo del Toro as the master of horror at WonderCon this weekend, Jeff Johns actually, they released a little bit from Annabelle and said that James Wan is the modern master of horror. So
I see it.
It would be kind of cool to see a little bit of... I'm with you, Roxy.
Who would have thought that the master of horror would be directing a movie
Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aquaman, so crazy. Well, I hope he sticks around, and it seems like he's bringing in his like proteges and things to do Shazam and things like that.
Yeah, and you know who else has really proven herself so far with the way that she's handled the press, and I hope sticks around, is Patty Jenkins. I think that she's just done like such a killer job with how she has talked about James Wan and talked about all these other people. And
she was at WonderCon this weekend too. And
so yeah, tell us a little bit about what you saw at WonderCon, what you saw of Patty Jenkins, because Wonder Woman is the next film that's coming out. It's just a couple months away. What is it like? What are we, like 60 days right now?
It's, yes.
What happened to your countdown? Soon. I thought you had an official everyday countdown.
There is a countdown, I think at batman-movies.com.
Okay.
I think there is a countdown. Chat roll, tell us, what's the exact countdown for Wonder Woman while Elena recounts stories of Patty Jenkins? Regale us, Elena.
Well, yeah, she. It was really cool because she was also doing a signing in the middle of the DC Museum that they have set up, and seeing just a ridiculous number of people all decked out as Wonder Woman, all genders, all ages, all everything, just everybody.
Was that the number one most dressed costume there, you think? Or a lot of Harleys?
There's always a lot of Harleys. There's always a lot of Harleys and Deadpools. That's just a given. There's actually a great Library Bard song about that that you should listen to. That's like a great parody song. So shout out to Library Bards for Red and Black. They're Cranberries knockoff about.
Love it.
Or parody. But anyway, yeah, there was just a ton of different Wonder Womans, and it was just really cool to see. It was mostly when she was there doing the signing, everybody kind of went and flooded, and she did like a photo op with them, which was really cool. But when they actually did the Warner Brothers panel where they were showing a little bit of footage and everything, Jeff John said that he thought that Wonder Woman is the single greatest fighter in the DC universe.
Oh, fighter, not hero.
Fighter.
Oh, well.
Which I thought was,
you know.
I think it's really good that he said that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that that's, you know. And
as
also,
much training as Batman has, she's trained by, like, warrior Amazons and also a lot more time. She's actually, you know, right. she's got
years. That makes me think that these fight sequences are going to be just insane if that's, you know, too, what they're really highlighting. And that, if I mean, that's a bold statement if you're not going to back it up in the movie. So yeah. I'm pretty excited.
That's a great thing to say.
Well, what we've seen so far of the fighting style looks great. I mean, you know what I like about it? It looks clean. It looks like you can actually see Wonder Woman doing the moves. It's not all choppy and cutty. And I think that's a huge part of it. In addition to the other powers she's going to have. And every time we've seen a little bit of the lasso, it looks incredible.
I love that gold.
Did Patty Jenkins talk about Ares at all? She talked about it in the press. Did you hear her talk about Ares at all?
Not a ton in the panel. They mentioned that was going to be the hero, but there would also be, you know, of course, we have the secondary hero. But I love her comment in the press, not in the in WonderCon, but her comment that if you're going to go big, basically, if you're going to, you know, do Wonder Woman, you got to go big and you got to go for the number one villain.
Yeah, so we see Ares is definitely the villain. We've seen, you know, Patty Jenkins is confirming it. We've known it. She even said a couple of weeks ago, she's like, it wasn't really a big reveal. I think what's really interesting about Ares is, once again, Lego. I think we have a picture of this or a couple of pictures. Once again.
I can't believe this.
Spoilers.
Like, how
many times does this
They
happen?
Do this every time. I'm like, just.
Is it on purpose? Or do they have somebody look at this and they're like, is this spoiling anything? Nah, we all good.
I mean, this is. It's just as bad as what they did with Giant Man in Civil War. So for anyone keeping score, or anyone pro Marvel or pro DC, like tit for tat,
yeah.
Lego spoils everything for everyone. Yeah. Expect to find out who's Rey's parents from Star Wars via a Lego set 6 months before Star Wars. You know,
but seriously,
The Last Jedi opens.
Are they given permission? Like, how does this happen? I don't get it.
It just doesn't seem like they do. I don't know if this is officially released or if this is
leaked
for sellers or people that have to buy and market this stuff. I mean, obviously, for the people that are selling these toys in their stores, they have to know what they're buying months before, and you need to stock the shelves before. You can't wait until the movie comes out because these toys drive up hype for the movies and after. It is weird. So. And it sucks. I got to admit, it sucks. But we actually...
It's not a massive... It's not a huge-ass reveal. It's not like a spoiler of the movie. People are taking it too far.
What do you guys think? I'm curious about...
I mean, this isn't my biggest issue that I've had with Hasbro. I'm like, I'm just glad that Wonder Woman is in her own set, honestly, after leaving Rey out of...
Yeah,
but
yes.
Star Wars. I'm like, I'm just glad to see her.
Well, I mean, listen, Lego's great. I still have my Guardians of the Galaxy set that I got like 3 years ago, and now there's Guardians of the Galaxy 2 sets. I just haven't put together. I've been waiting for my nephews to get old enough.
You haven't put them together at all?
No, I'm waiting for my nephews to get old enough. He's almost 3. I think maybe it's almost time. I don't want him to mess it up. if he loses pieces, I'll just, you know, I'll be very disappointed. Okay, so now here's the bigger issue. So it looks like we're going to get giant CGI.
I think that is the bigger issue.
Right, yeah, CG Ares, who's huge. But we also had big CG Doomsday. And are we going to get, like, big CG Steppenwolf, too? Like, is it always going to be, like, a third act? Here's your giant monster. Can that be good if you do it differently? Or is that going to get repetitive? Ladies, what do you think? Chat roll, what do you think?
All depends on how they do it. All depends on what the monster looks like and what the monster can do and who the monster is going up against. I'm not going to put out a blanket statement that CG for a monster is right or wrong, you know?
I mean, we do have that great line about fighting things from other worlds that she drops in BVS, and this is certainly a callback to one of these things that she's fought, you know, Ares being from another world or another plane of existence. Pretty interesting. But yeah, it seems like in the third act, we're going to get a giant monster.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with. I know some people aren't.
As long as the CGI is good, then I'm fine. As
Better
long
than
as
it cyborg.
Doesn't. Yes, that's what I was going to say. As long as we don't have just a giant cyborg that I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's as long as there seems to be a solid story. And if there's a really, really good story, I'm even willing to overlook a little bit of shoddy CGI. But I'm hoping it's going to be a complete package.
I'm sure it's good. I don't even think like the CGI, I thought Doomsday is really good. I just am so sad that they spoiled that like in the trailers. Like, I thought it would have been such a great surprise. And it would have gotten a totally different reaction. If people didn't know Doomsday was going until those first crowds got to the theater, that would have been a huge reveal, and people would have been so psyched.
What percentage of the people that saw that, though, Adam, do you think even realized that? Like, you know exactly who Doomsday is, you know exactly what was happening in that situation. What percentage of the people that were watching do you think had, A, seen all the trailers, or B, had any idea who Doomsday even was?
Yeah, I mean, maybe 10%. I don't know. You know, but a lot of the hype for these films starts with the fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, these comic book movies depend on the hype machine started by fans, and then it becomes electric and filtered out. Like, we just saw Ghost in the Shell bombed. Like, Ghost in the Shell has got a pretty big fan base, but that fan base didn't rally and get all the normies out there excited
about it. Well, they set themselves up for failure when they cast Scarlett as a lead of...
I mean, I think that's the issue. The movie.
They even released a statement saying that that was the reason that they felt that it bombed. Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of a different scenario.
And
how about
I like
that Kendall
movie?
Jenner, though? Pepsi.
Oh, my God. Oh, that got slayed.
Sorry, that has nothing to do with this. Just thinking of bombs this week. Anyway.
Big bombs. Bill O'Reilly bombs. Kendall Jenner bombs. Going off all over the place.
All the bombs.
It's kind of nice that this is the only bombs that we have to worry about.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
On DC Movie News.
That's true.
So
Are
what else?
Okay, more World on Patty War Jenkins.
I that Wonder Woman will save us from.
Yes. Yep. The best fighter in the DC Universe. Patty Jenkins also had something to say about Joss Whedon potentially joining. Yeah. So she said, I found this very revealing. The ladies will find the exact quote, but something to the effect of, I don't know if that deal's done, just which to me lets me know that.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
The deal is there.
She said, I don't even know if that deal is done or not. I don't have the inside scoop on that. But if it is done, then I'm excited about it. I think it's super exciting. The tone of Joss's work is great for female superheroes. He takes such a fun approach, and I think he'll have fun in the DC universe, which will be exciting to have him.
This is what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. Patty is so nice about the other directors. She's welcoming. She's not possessive
about
her film. I just think that...
She's great with fans, too.
So great with them. And of all the people we've seen
so far... As much as I love David Ayer, he was trying to be like a hype man in a very different way.
Yes.
He was going negative. Patty Jenkins is not going negative.
I think she's humble. I think she's grateful. I think she likes the work. I think she loves the people. Like,
and Geoff Johns in his panel said, you are going to be so glad that Patty Jenkins is the person directing this movie. She was the absolute best choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so
great. Do you think that's
great.
Still him trying to say, like, those of you who love Michelle McLaren, we're glad that we went with Patty? Do you think that he's still, like, going off that from, what, a year and a half ago?
I think it's mostly at this point just support and just hype for the movie. Yeah, and just I think it is just an encouragement. Because
if you're getting married,
such,
you don't, like, lament your ex-girlfriend, you know what I mean? Or boyfriend, you know? I mean, like, that's the relationship. McLaren was never making the movie. It ended before it actually happened. So Patty Jenkins came on, and it was the right fit. It was the right relationship. That's what we've seen with a lot of these movies. Sometimes directors just don't fit. Like, sometimes they leave the project, they come back. It happens in Marvel, it's happened in DC. As DC starts to find its footing with the second wave of films, look at the talent that's being brought to the table. So obviously things are starting to look better over there, and it takes so much time before we see the results of these changes that, you know, we're only getting the ending effects of the first wave.
And, I mean, now that we're seeing movies and seeing, you know, fan input and kind of things switching up at DC, I think that we are kind of getting directors like Joss Whedon, who I think probably did approach DC because he had said in interviews that the only thing would make him come back would be doing a Batgirl movie.
Well, even if he didn't approach them, he put that out into the universe.
Yeah. And so I think the timing is so critical with all of these directors. I think now having so many people throw their hats in the ring and saying, we're all supporting each other, we're all super into all of each other's work, I think that that's just encouraging more directors to step in and want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. More on Patty Jenkins. She talked, I guess she was in the press a lot this week about her humor. Do you mind if I read a little bit of this quote?
No. Let's talk about actual humor in a DC film from a DC director.
This was interesting, that the way that she phrased this. She says, I think there's funny things in both of those films. And when she says both of those films, she's talking about Batman v Superman and Wonder Woman. But we definitely went for making a funny film. I was always basing it on Superman, Superman 1 and on Indiana Jones. I wanted to make a classic film where you're laughing and you're in love with them and then they're off on a fun, great adventure. It's definitely the pursuit of our film.
I love that. As soon as she said Indiana Jones, I'm like, I'm in.
But it was interesting that she says, we definitely went for making a funny film. I'm not about in a good way, but it's just interesting because I feel like so many people in the DC are hesitant to say, like, this was our goal. They're just like, it just happened along the way, or we did. There were some funny aspects, but she said we went for making a funny film.
Well, yeah. I mean, Warner Brothers was criticized a lot when there were rumors that got out. I don't know if it was from Kevin Susihara or what, where they were making a blanket statement before anybody had seen any films that, like, if you want that quippy humor, that's a Marvel movie. DC films are going to be dark. And that's just dangerous to make such a blanket statement, because how can that apply to all stories?
All your characters.
It certainly doesn't, smack of someone that really knows comics and has read comics, because
especially when you have like Flash, Shazam, like what are you talking about?
The tones have got to be all kinds of different. It can't be just one thing. It just said that they didn't know what they're doing, and like now with Toby Emmerich at the head, Geoff Johns feeling like he's starting to be able to find his footing, and the thing is being guided, and it just feels better.
I heard that Toby texted you again this week, even after saying that he wasn't going to.
He texted me and he was like, dude, no big announcements this week, so you can keep talking about what happened last week. If you guys want to speculate on who might be playing Batgirl, that's okay. And as soon as we left here, you guys started tweeting us that apparently, the Twitter detectives out there had brought it down to this 100 actor.
So this girl, what's her name? I think Lindsay from the 100.
Lindsay Wagner?
Morgan, I think. But Wagner's a good last name. Maybe Elena can look that up while I'm looking here.
Woman.
But it seems to be a front runner for a couple of different reasons. Number one, there was a tweet that she put out a couple weeks ago that said, like, involved in a new project, so excited, thanks to all my fans, with a bunch of emojis.
Uh-huh.
So people saw that. Then when Joss Whedon was announced, she retweeted that tweet saying that he was announced. And also, I just have seen everybody kind of wants it. People are pushing for it. There's been tweets back and forth.
But nothing since that day last week. It's been pretty much, nothing new.
The only new things have been people talking about those things, Adam. Okay. So like comic books reporting on it, like all these different websites are now.
Lindsay Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan. Okay.
So if Lindsay Morgan, all right, you got to think, if she was in talks to be Batgirl, you know how they lock down these actors. You guys have all heard these interviews where, like, with even, like, Michael Keaton talking about, the actors, like, don't know what they can or can't say, and they're told to say nothing. So do you think she was allowed to do those things, assuming that she is in talks for the part, or do you think
she didn't technically say anything.
She didn't respond to it directly or not.
Think about it. I mean, that's kind of the thing about retweets, is that people can kind of infer a lot of things because it technically doesn't break any NDAs.
That is true. However, I'm so iffy on this because, we're not talking about an A-list celebrity.
No.
It's not somebody who's like, screw this, I'm going to tweet it. Like, I don't need any permission.
It's not Vin Diesel.
These actors that come from television and don't have infinite amount of credits, they don't have like 50 to 100 different credits, they are scared shitless. I don't care what anybody says. This is not a job that she would be willing to lose.
Right.
So if she didn't have the studio's permission to, like, kind of coyly tweet some things, I don't think she would.
Woodblock 707 says, and I'm going to imply your tone. Woodblock, you tell me if I get this right. Do you really think WB already cast Batgirl already? Which the double already there makes me think that you don't think that they have. Do I think that they have? I don't know. I feel like maybe if Joss Whedon was going to make the movie, he might have an idea of who his muse is.
Well,
like,
you know, Carol Strong tweeted out to Joss Whedon and said, if you're still casting for Batgirl, I have some ideas, and tweeted a picture
of Lindsay Morgan.
Interesting.
So people need to remember that when we hear something is announced is not when it started taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea how long Joss Whedon's had this in the works. We have no idea who he's been talking to for how long, if the studio picked an actress before they picked the director. Like, we have no idea. So for us, it's like already. For them, it could be like, we've been working on this for 6 months. Like, what are you
Sky Patterson saying? Anna Kendrick, Tatiana Maslany, Jane Levy. I don't know who that is. Emma Stone, I do know who that is. Anna Taylor-Joy.
Jane Levy is from Suburbia. Then she also was on the remake of The Walking Dead.
I saw Tatiana.
Not The Walking Dead, The Evil Dead.
Fear. Oh.
Evil Dead.
Oh, okay.
Anna Taylor-Joy.
I saw Tatiana Maslany's name on many a list, and I thought that was, like, spot on.
There's
really
no way they're casting a white girl as Batgirl.
Well, Tatiana Maslany is, like, I don't think she's full white.
She's pretty white.
I mean,
she's like super Canadian. Like
Tatiana Maslany, I think that she's
I just think that they're gonna go with it with an ethnic choice.
Should we fight about how white people are for the next 20 minutes?
I just think moving forward that
really?
That's what we're gonna see. We're gonna see diversity in a role like that. I also just don't think Joss Whedon's gonna cast like I think you're gonna say like Jim Gordon was either adopted a mixed race or an ethnic child of a different race, or his wife could be Chinese or black or Latina or anything like that.
I heard Holland Rodin, who I would be into. She's from Teen Wolf, but she's super white, so I don't know.
I just don't see it. I mean, just because there's so much backlash.
What is this place?
Deborah Ann Wall.
Saskatchewan.
She's
Saskatchewan.
Busy.
Saskatchewan.
What does that make her?
Canada. Canadian.
Saskatchewan, Canada.
Saskatchewan.
She's Canadian.
Saskatchewanian.
All right, the Canadians are white, man.
Kate Mara.
Oh, Evan Rachel Wood.
No.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't watch The 100. I don't know how this girl is, but I know that Lindsay Morgan's got a crap ton of fans, and that they have all been incredibly supportive. So that's what I know.
All right, well, it'll be interesting to see. So far, Joss Whedon has said nothing on the subject, so the deal could fall apart, as we know. Sometimes happens. The deal might not be done. It might be done. But he hasn't said anything. He only tweets, like, political stuff, which I respect. At least he's being consistent. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I check, maybe if he is tweeting non-political stuff, I haven't seen.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You are allowed to use your own platform however you want. People get mad at him for that.
However you want. Serien Hines, ladies and gentlemen, an actor who was amazing on Game of Thrones. Love this guy. He was like head of the Northmen, right? Like he was like the head of like the guys on the other side of the wall, the Wildlings, I believe they are.
The Wildlings.
I don't know if I'm saying his name properly.
I think you are.
So he's officially saying he's Steppenwolf. He had some interesting things to say. First, about how embarrassing it was to wear the mocap stuff.
Yes. So I thought that was interesting. Like, what a funny thing to say. And what he ended up doing. And how did he even get... I mean, tell the rest of the story, but, like, how did he get his number? How does he know this guy? Like, how do you...
Oh, because he knows Liam Neeson because they're all, like, European... Like, European actors all know each other. They all go to the same club.
He's like, I just hit up Liam Neeson, and he told me, like, how to do mocap. And I was like, oh, thanks for the tips. And he gave me his binder on it or some crap.
His pamphlet.
Like,
I love that he has... I like to think that Liam Neeson made, like, a full pamphlet, like, an actual pamphlet.
Oh, yes. I couldn't tell whether he was making a joke or whether...
If you're interested...
Like,
if you're interested in doing motion capture, let me refer to you. Here's Sirian. Here's what I did when I was doing the monster calls.
Is this like a Johnny Swerve, or is this really like what took place?
I don't know.
No, it absolutely took place. What I found more interesting was that we actually heard about the character for the first time.
Yeah.
That he's old. He's weary. He basically, it sounds like he does like, he's like the Herald of Galactus. He goes around finding worlds to conquer for Darkseid. This is the first time somebody's mentioned Darkseid, really.
Mm-hmm. The exact quote, he said, he's old, tired, still trying to get out of his own enslavement to Darkseid, but he has to keep on this line to try and take over other worlds.
I like that. Get out of his own enslavement to Darkseid.
Do you think he's going to look...
he's doing and...
Do you think he's going to look exactly like he looked in that deleted scene from Batman v Superman, which I don't think, guys, is that canon or is that not canon?
I'm confused at this point about that, because when it was filmed, it was obviously canon. When they put it in the DVD as extras and the extended, half the people aren't going to know.
I think the way that that character looked, chat roll, tell me if you agree or not, it sort of looked like a three-dimensional hologram, not too dissimilar from the kind of technology we saw on Krypton. Right, the way they had like the 3D, but it wasn't an exact...
What do you mean, Man of Steel?
I mean, Man of Steel, excuse me. Yeah, on Krypton and Man of Steel. In that it wasn't like, those projections weren't like photorealistic, but it was like a three-dimensional thing. And it does kind of look like Steppenwolf, but I think he's going to have more color and be more fleshed out. I just don't know how humanoid versus monstrous he's going to look, because in the comics, he's like a human looking, or, you know, he's from Apocalypse or Apocalyptian or whatever, with the horns and things like that. So I wonder how human he's going to look, or if he's also going to become a giant CGI monster.
Yeah, most likely.
He did say, what did he say about they only used like my eyes and mouth? Like they're not even going to be using... So they're not even using like a lot of his face and stuff. It's not like going to be Avatar level of motion performance, motion capture performance.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on the Liam Neeson part of it.
Just that he can call up Liam Neeson. Listen, like they probably are like, you know, even though Sirian Hines isn't as famous, like they're both probably well regarded actors who've been doing it a long time. They've probably known each other a long time.
But why are there not people on set that can talk to him about how to do mocap?
No, I think you call your buddies, like, hey, do you ever do this? Like,
so they must be good friends.
You're pretty good friends.
Like, yeah, they grab Guinnesses together. I mean, Guinnesses he said he together. Sent him a picture of him in the suit.
Yeah.
That he said he looked much more elegant.
Yes, I'll take you out for a pint. I'll take you out for a pint.
He sent me a little pamphlet of stuff.
Thank you. Woodblock said I was correct in interpreting his tone. So, thank you for that. Good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I can read. And you did that with no emojis, so I'm really, really proud of you and myself.
Paul Ponte, they probably did Shakespeare somewhere.
They definitely did Shakespeare in the bathroom together, guys. Like, that's what happened.
For sure, the bathroom.
Oh, I'm going to be in England in a month, by the way.
For what?
For
sausages?
No, I'm interviewing the cast and director of Alien Covenant.
Ooh,
nice. Cool.
And the junket is in England. So I'm going to also reach out to Liam Neeson and see if he wants to grab a Guinness with me.
So you're not going to ask about mocap. You're just going to say, hey, like, talk to me about England.
I'm going to be like, oh, have you ever been to a bar in England? Can you tell me about that? Yeah. And he'll like read back to me. He's like, yes, if you're going to go to a bar.
We'll send you the pamphlet. So
I have a pamphlet about various places to get pints and bangers and mash. I'll be like, oh, I'm a sausage maker. I want to find out about an English banger, which is a very different specific kind of sausage.
From Liam Neeson, who might have a pamphlet.
I know many things about bangers. I know about lug sausage.
Anyway.
Okay, I have a very specific set of sausages. I have white pudding sausage and black pudding sausage.
White pudding?
I have bangers, yes. It's like blood pudding, but made with no blood. That's a real thing.
Now I want pudding.
Yes, you can look it up. Oh, it does not mean the same thing over there.
Got that.
Moving on from pudding, the weekly question that we ask once a week. Do you think Ben Affleck is going to be Batman after Justice League? I ask this only because I know a lot of you watch John Schnepp, who's been on the show before. His show, Heroes, the man is a creative dude. He's got wild theories about what could be going on. He has a world in which Justice League ends with like a total reset of the DC Universe, using the Flash to travel interdimensionally and reset, and that's why we're going to get all these other movies with a new Batman. So I'm just asking, this is like a weekly thing. Where are you at on Ben Affleck's future as Batman this week?
Elena, hit us.
I still think he's going to be Batman. I mean, maybe I'm just clinging on to a hope that I really, really want But I feel like with everything, it seems to, hopefully the smoke is now clearing and things are kind of falling into place. And hopefully everybody else being brought in around it will create a good movie that then they can say, Ben, come, be in this. Just worry about acting. Don't worry about anything else. Don't stress. It will all be good times. And then we'll all get a good Batman movie.
Not to mention, if he's not drinking, he's going to, like, cut an even leaner figure.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I cut out drinking, I mean, you lose, like, 5-6 pounds just like that. Because that alcohol, that'll just put on the calories.
That's true. I think I'm sticking to it.
That he's going to stay.
He's staying. I don't think I'm changing my mind again unless
In the Matt Reeves film.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm changing my mind again unless he leaves. I like that.
Yeah. That's exactly my mind will be mentality.
Don't worry about contracts. I wouldn't worry about his contract. They're, you know, because they're not going to... They're not going to make him do the movie if he doesn't want to move.
No, because then they're the studio that said, come on, alcoholic actor, we're going to force you to do something instead of letting you recoup. Exactly. That's not going to happen.
I'll tell you this. With regard to what John Schnepp was theorizing, I can't say I agree with that because while Justice League had already wrapped filming, Ben Affleck was still attached to direct a Batman film. So unless, you know, they knew that he was walking away a long time ago and they went back and reshot a total ending of Justice League, I don't see that happening.
If they had known he was walking away a long time ago, the slate would not look the way the slate does.
Nothing would have happened the way
But the new slate happened. Or the old slate? You're talking about the slate with like Harley Quinn movies and Nightwing movies and Batgirl movies? Because that's a new slate.
No, I'm talking about the old slate.
Okay. What are you laughing at?
We're getting some funny comments in the chat. Brandon says Bill Cosby for Batman if Affleck leaves.
Honestly, if he does leave, it doesn't matter. You recast it and move on, just like when you get a new artist. As Bill Cosby, as Dark Knight Returns with Bill Cosby. Obviously, everybody's been
calling. Was it you that does a really good Cosby voice?
Definitely not, and I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, no.
Not going to do it. Mine would be like an eighth generation carbon copy of like 10 other people's bad Cosby impression.
No, Cosby. Well, Casey Affleck got an Oscar, so.
A little different. Maybe not.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys think Casey Affleck would ever be in the DCEU?
No. No shot.
No. If they offered him something?
Don't think so.
All right.
Don't think so.
No.
It does matter, Adam says.
Third Eye Dreamer.
Come on. No, all I'm saying is you're not rebooting the universe if Ben Affleck leaves the role. Like, you get somebody else that's great. And yes, you get somebody a little bit younger so that you could do more films and not have... But... You're not recasting Henry Cavill. You're not recasting Gal.
But I think the whole thing that they're really pushing for is a unity with these films and for each of them to stand alone but also make sense together. So if you're constantly recasting these characters, then it's a little difficult. I mean, it's... And I know we've done it before where we had two different Rachels and we went with it, but...
Two different Rachels?
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
She was the worst. I'm so sorry. Yeah, Katie Holmes was so much
Katie
better.
Katie Holmes was better, but we still went and saw it. We were
Maggie
like, well,
if
Katie
dust,
Holmes
man.
Isn't in it, then we just won't see it.
Bruce Banner has changed in the Marvel Universe. That you haven't really noticed too much. James Bond changes all the time.
Yeah, but that's built into the character. That's different.
That is, you're right. You're right. It's totally different. Not as built in as like changing Doctor Who, but.
No, but it's still where, I mean, that is a totally different canon where it's there are different bonds that are, you refer to like different doctors. Whereas Batman's, where we've had different people play them.
But not every aspect has changed. I will argue that for a little bit because Judi Dench was like had a couple of different bonds and some of those side characters, and you had the same.
Anytime Fitness is for real people with real fitness goals. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't training for marathons or half marathons or even half marathons. Only time most of us are running at all is if we're trying to make a connecting flight. Wouldn't have been late if we didn't stop to buy a headphone dongle. Point is, you gotta be ready. You do not want to deal with rebooking. Anytime Fitness, where real people help you make real progress. Join today and get a plan for training, nutrition, and recovery.
Alfred for Michael Keaton, Batman, George Clooney, and Val Kilmer. Like, you kept some continuity. They didn't totally relaunch. I mean, it was a different world back then. But all I'm saying is, like, if Affleck does decide to walk away from the role...
But that wouldn't fit with the idea of trying to create a cohesive universe now, of having all of these films tie in kind of Avenger style, which, you know, I hate to refer to Marvel, but that is kind of what they're modeling after, is that they have a set universe with set actors playing set characters. If they went in and they recast each of those characters, if you had, you know, a different Tony Stark and then, you know, Scarlett Johansson was out for the next one and they switched it up each time, that would create a very different dynamic.
Yeah, but it would still be the same world.
I mean, eventually that's going to happen, right? So like, I feel like that's what I feel like they're doing now with DC, is trying to kind of keep that same model. That's why I think they're going to hold on to Ben Affleck as much as they possibly can.
And I certainly hope they can, because most people agree that he's a really good Batman. But I will say, and then we'll move on to the next thing, if he was going to leave, you wouldn't hear about it until after Justice League.
Very true.
Because that would be disastrous.
We keep coming back to that.
It's just saying. It's out there. And we have, until I hear Matt Reeves make like some kind of statement about how he's been working with Ben, then I'll always have a little doubt. You know, until Matt Reeves makes some kind of statement saying, oh, I'm so excited to be working with Ben Affleck on this next one, because we haven't heard that yet.
That's your long dong energy, yeah.
That's my, I'm throwing it down with the dong.
Long dong swagger.
Speaking of my Big Bang, Big Bang Theory is going to be starring as Harley in the new animated film Batman and Harley, which is being produced and at least co-written by Bruce Timm of the original Batman the Animated Series. And this this is an interesting hybrid, because we have something that looks like the Batman the Animated Series that we all love, but it is more adult consistently with the other animated films. We have some video we're going to check out of
this. Yeah, let's check it out. Melissa Rauch.
Melissa Rauch! Big Bang Theory. Star. Playing
She's
Harley.
A star.
Taking over for... No, the first part. Yeah. Play them in order, because it's all very Harley-centric. All right, so here's a little preview, guys. Enjoy.
We could be looking at the extinction of all life on the planet.
Not Swamp Thing.
Could have been better.
Poison Ivy, dude.
Gotta be her.
Nice piggies.
Humans simply will not give
a crap. This is a retired Harley, by the way. This is Harley Knight Returns.
Here we go.
We need Harley Quinn.
Yes. Damn right you do.
Nuh-uh. I'm done with capes and tights and masks.
Boom! I
just
think
trying like hell to lead a normal life.
Not bad.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Love the outfit.
I'm assuming this is available on the Blu-ray of Judas Contract.
On the Blu-ray.
So
you get a long interview here with Bruce Timm and Mike Carlin and a bunch of the other people. We have another bit we're going to take a look at. With her actually in the studio talking.
She's in the booth.
In the booth.
And it's interesting, too, because it seems like she was just offered this role straight out, that she didn't even audition.
Based on what we were about to hear, yeah. Let's check it out.
Kind of surprising.
At the 6:58 mark.
First of all, when I found out that I was going to be playing this role, I cannot tell you how overjoyed I was. When the offer came into my inbox and my Gmail, and I just saw Harley Quinn. I went, what? Harley Quinn, what's this about?
Face it, sugar. I got something you want. And you sure as shooting got something I want. So be a good boy, and maybe Mama will give you a cookie.
And Melissa was just...
I loved it. I thought that was perfect.
Cue the outrage in the chat roll. Are you guys really upset that Arlene Sorkin did not get the role? Or Tara Strong, who's played it before?
I love Tara Strong.
Me too. But I think that she did a really strong job. And I love how excited she was for it.
Not a Tara Strong job, but still a strong job.
Yeah. You love when somebody's excited for it. I think it's funny and interesting that they just offered it to her straight up without hearing her in this voice. But I don't watch Big Bang. Elena was telling me that her voice in the show is like kind of nasally and high pitched.
I was kind of nervous when I found out that she was cast, just because I thought she was going to use her same Big Bang voice, which is very, very high pitched and nasally, which this kind of sounds more like her, which was funny too, because she was in an interview said that that was actually, she used to talk like that and that was kind of her natural accent and she had to work really hard to get rid of it. So now bringing it back for Harley was kind of fun.
I think it's also interesting that they said the actor, I forget his name, it's Lauren or something, that's playing Nightwing in this, was the original Robin actor from Batman the Animated Series. So Kevin Conroy, he always gets the nod. That guy, People don't even care what style it is anymore. Like whether it's a video game or Injustice or the Arkham games. Like Kevin Conroy has just accepted it and he just keeps rolling with it. He was doing some kind of motion capture that he was tweeting about. I don't know what that was.
Liam Neeson helped him with it.
Yeah, I think Liam Neeson actually helped Kevin Conroy with it. It seemed interesting. But I'm excited about this animated film. And I will see The Judas Contract as soon as I can rent it because I'm too cheap to buy it this week.
Maybe we should go splitsies.
All right, we can all go splitsies and share it. But then who keeps it? Then we have like the... then it's like the
we
the,
have
the,
shared custody.
The comic book episode of Radioactive Man number one. Yeah, Simpsons. When everybody chips in to buy it. Yeah. And then they're like, who keeps it? And comic book man's like, Nicole
that was
Kidman.
An awesome Simpsons service.
Who was pretty awesome recently.
In Big Little Lies.
Yeah, I liked it. What'd you think?
I mean, it was just like... amazing, and she was amazing, and I think she'll definitely get an Emmy nom for it, and I think she'll probably take home the victory.
I think so.
Even though Feud, both of them are
same thing.
It. What?
Same. I was thinking the exact same thing. It's like there's only one Emmy between Feud and Big Little
Lies.
Between
Susan Sarandon, Jessica Lange, and Nicole Kidman, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
I love.
And I'm also hearing Carrie Coon for Fargo that a lot of people think.
Oh my god, that looks good too. Oh, I can actually watch some of those Fargos. I have them on the FX Screening Room app. I haven't watched them yet, but so much good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nicole Kidman confirmed that she will be playing Atlanta. Aquaman's mom.
Mm-hmm.
She loves it. She loves James Wan, who I didn't realize he was Australian, but he is.
You didn't?
I didn't know that.
Whoa. I
never heard the guy talk.
He's got that. That's so funny because we never read it in the. None of us can do the Aussie voice on the show. We read quotes of his all the time, but I never put on my Aussie voice.
Not really. Not unless I do like this. I got to sound like a brushman.
Nailed it.
Spot on.
This is a quote. I'm happy to be playing Aquaman's mom.
I'm going to read Nicole Kidman's
like Nicole
quote.
Kidman. That was crazy. Spot on.
I'm going to do a quote with no accent. How do we feel about
that? Go for it.
The reason why I love Aquaman is James Wan is an Australian, and I've followed his career since he started. He's a really good friend of mine, and he offered to let me play Queen Atlanta. Kidman said, she goes on to say, as soon as he said I could wear Mother of Pearl and be Mermaid Warrior, I said, I'm done. Please, if there's one thing I have to do in my life, I have to be that, because you've got to have some fun. All right. As long as we don't put the Raggedy Ann thing on her head.
There you go. Like all European actors know each other. All Australian actors know each other.
They're a really good friend of mine.
Directors.
All right. All right.
All
right, she said.
I did notice her Australian accent came out a little bit in Big Little Lies. So if I was like technical proficiency and if it was like the Olympics of acting, I might have to give the edge to one of the Feud actors just because... In her most emotional parts, which were so real, I did hear that Aussie
really?
Come out.
I didn't hear it.
Definitely.
I didn't hear it.
So basically, if she does want an Emmy, you're saying upset.
It's hard. Hard to be an upset because there's so many great performances. So I wouldn't be upset, nor do I think it would be an upset. But I'm just saying if I was judging, I might give her technical points off right there. Speaking of technical proficiency, Amber Heard, this is just a little thing. We have a little video. I don't know if you can find it, if you have the link to the video. But
captioned, another day at the office.
So last week we showed you her wushu sword training. This week we see her doing some fighting and flipping and things like that. There was like a little loopy Instagram video of Amber Heard.
Yeah. So he punches, she twists him over, he falls, another guy comes at her, she does this, she twists him over, and she gets down, and she looks real badass doing it.
She definitely seems like, between Momoa and Heard, she seems like the more skilled fighter.
Basically, everybody's flipping out over this one.
I mean...
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see the cat fight between Wonder Woman and this one?
Ooh.
I hope Wonder Woman kicks her butt.
Well, I'm just saying, they both look like they're going to be serious badass fighters.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be cool.
Little Aquaman in the middle. Just saying.
Like watching on the screen as Anthony's moving, going through his emails, looking for things.
Oh, really? Oh.
Anthony.
Respond to that email, Anthony. It said it was urgent. It said it needed your Apple ID. Definitely respond.
I think he's looking for the video.
No, we got it. So she looks like she's going to kick some butt. Mm-hmm. And this is a lot of effort for just a little bit of butt kicking, but we'll take what we can get because it's a slow news week.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. But that probably brings us to do.
It's time for
Roxy Stryer's TV time.
Did you guys know that's what it brought us to?
Oh, I did know that.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just didn't know if he was going to course correct or keep trying to get the Amber Heard.
TV time.
Well, Roxy, take it away.
All right, so Stephen Amell, who we all know is a total beast, is competing on American Ninja Warrior. You guys, if you didn't know this, there's going to be the first ever episode of Celebrity American Ninja Warrior. Do you guys watch the show ever?
I have seen it.
Yeah, they film it on the Universal lot sometimes. Yes. So
it's like totally the most addicting show ever.
Nice.
I never meant to watch it, and then one time I fell upon it, and now it's just like, damn. Man, the show.
They film it in the middle of the night, too. I thought they faked that. They film it 2 o'clock in the morning. So they're doing all these crazy stunts. They're doing them out on, sometimes they film them all over, but when they were filming out on the lot, it really was the middle of the night.
It's badass. And they've got some cool people on it that are going to be there. Somebody from Parenthood, somebody from Derek Huff from Dancing with the Star, Jeff Dye.
Jeff Dye from...
He's the comedian. Remember, he was also on I Can Do That on NBC.
Oh, okay.
He's really, really funny. He actually got into a Twitter war with me one time.
Really?
Yeah, he does not
Erica
like me.
Erica Christensen from Parenthood will be interesting to see. She was on Swim Fan, too.
I'm just kind of curious. What was the Twitter war about?
I was doing the AfterBuzz TV after show for I Can Do That, which was a show on NBC. Basically, you competed in different things, and one of his things was not very good, and I was like, oh, come on, Jeff Dye, you're better than that. Like, whatever, just kind of giving him funny crap.
Sure.
And he found the video and tweeted at me and was like, fuck you. Like, you have no idea how hard it is. Da, da, da. And I was like, man, like, I talk about how you're my favorite person on the show all the time. I was just saying it was your best performance. And he, like blew up and tweeted like 10 different mean things about me.
Dang.
Yeah, it was interesting. But anyway, I still like him.
So who's going to be the guy that plays Arrow? And like, how bad does that look if Arrow loses to any of these clowns?
Yeah, that's true.
If he loses to Swim Fan.
This is the guy we've seen do the salmon ladder. I'm sorry. If you could do that, you got to be winning this thing.
It's on May 25th.
It airs May 25th?
Yep, on NBC. And Stephen Amell tweeted about it. And yeah, he says he's with Master Ninja Coach, the mighty Casey Catanzaro. So,
she's the one that was like the big winner of American Ninja Warrior, the All Star Girl.
Yeah.
She's the one that like did the course like super fast and is like in the commercials where she's flipping about.
Yeah, with the brunette girl, she's like tiny thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. That's cool for Stephen Amell. And like you just said, who the hell is gonna beat him? Like, that's not gonna be a good look.
I sure hope not for
Arrow. We got something back this week, which is great because they stripped everything away from us. They just took it all away.
You talking brains?
I'm talking brains. I'm talking so many brains. They've done weird-ish with this show this season. Yes, that's right. We got iZombie back.
Season 2?
Season 3.
Season 3.
We're on season 3 of iZombie, and it is weird this season. This one episode... Because now, like, you know when you're the Flash and you're hiding who the Flash is and then all of a sudden everybody knows, or how every superhero show does that?
Yeah.
We've kind of finally gotten to the place where zombies are open and more people are aware, and it has made for quite the show. I love this show. It's got better every season. I think this will be an awesome one, and it was really nice to just see them all back together. I'm excited for where they're going. The characters that they brought in, I'm still unsure about, but we'll see. There's some weird love triangle stuff going on also. And definitely, it's always interesting because when you develop the personality traits of the brain that you're eating, like, you never know what each week is going to look like. So that's pretty cool.
That's a cool thing that's built into it. We did have a season finale this week, too.
Season finale of Legends of Tomorrow. Yes, we did. I thought that was... I mean, Adam, you saw it. What did you think about the episode?
I love the last two episodes. I love the... it was funny because, like the episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, I know the Marvel show S.H.I.E.L.D. was like almost exactly like the Doom episode, the Doom World episode last week. Like the same alternate like world where bad guys are in charge of everything. I thought it was cool. I mean, it was very timey-wimey. You had Legends in the same place. You had many, many flashes. Apparently, you've killed Eobard Thorne for good.
Good. Yeah, it's got to be. And what do you think about erasing Snart's memory? Did you feel like it was a waste to bring him back and then do that to him? Or what do you think's happening
So now? What's the idea now? So he's erased and he's put back in time so he can go about joining the Legends eventually and then killing himself eventually as he originally did.
I think so he can join the Legends eventually, but not so he can kill himself as he originally did.
See, I took it... What do you guys think in the chat role? I thought it was like he put him back where he belonged, so he was going to make that same sacrifice.
Maybe, but he's a series regular, so how are we going to keep doing this to him?
And then what's going on with Mick Rory now? Like, is he back? Or is he?
It seems like they're all accepting him back and that they are trusting him again, kind of, maybe. And also, what about... Vixen and Steel?
So did Vixen, she said she went back to her time, though, right? She's like, I'll be back, but...
But then they, like, matey outy for a real long time, and maybe that kiss changed things. I don't know. And I don't believe that Vixen's granddaughter still isn't Steel. I mean, Steel isn't they didn't have a kid. I think that maybe they did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think he is her future or something. I don't know. And then, and then we get the dinosaurs.
Oh, right. Then when they broke time.
Up LA.
That's, yeah. We're in the present and dinosaurs and everything is messed up.
Yeah. So there was a lot of stuff on that show. It's the weirdest show ever. I love it. I just love it.
And then why did Rip Hunter leave again? What's up with that?
Because he needed to go make more cakes.
What was up with that? It was very weird. The whole Rip Hunter thing was weird, how he was out and back and out again. Like, I don't get it. Like,
and did we get Ray's suit back?
Where is Ray's suit? No, he found
it
somewhere.
They had the suit. They had the technology to make the ship, though, and then they said they maybe we would have his suit.
He got his heart ripped out at some point.
Sarah's captain. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. All right, what's up? Everybody's saying answer Yvonne's question. Do you hate that Legend spent a few episodes destroying Leonard Snart's character growth? That's kind of what we were just talking about. I don't really necessarily see it like that. I don't think he had character growth. He had character. What's the opposite of growth?
Retardation?
Yeah, character retardation. And I think that it was unhealthy for his character, the direction he was going. And I like to see him on Team Legends way more than I like seeing him on Team Legion of Doom.
Yeah, are those guys coming back or not? I don't know what the contract situation is. I know they're doing their prison break, but that's like...
They did it.
It did it already?
Yeah,
did
they
it
did
start
it.
Airing?
No, it's starting to air this... Very, very soon.
And it says new season, so it doesn't say like a special event. So Prison Break, as far as I understand, is ongoing again.
Maybe. Tuesdays, 9, 8 Central, Fox, season 1, when are we airing? No, I don't know.
I hope they bring more, Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, yeah, April 4th, holy crap. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Oh, it just started.
I haven't watched it yet.
Wow.
Wow, I thought that it was next week. Yeah, it aired 2 days ago. And I've missed it. It's so rude. I'm sorry, guys. I've let you down.
Back.
I've totally let you down.
I kind of hope there's new teammates on the Legends next year, though. I like the fact that they were switching it up. I like mixing up the team and getting a different crew in there.
Just no more white nerds.
No more white nerds.
No more white nerds. We can't do it. What happened with Firestorm? Jax, like, died for Stein, and then he didn't because it was two of the Legends, and then...
Yeah, they were able to kill all the Legends that went back because they had to be erased anyway. Like, their actions erased their existence anyway. Like, that future doesn't happen. So that's why they were able to, like, kill them all.
Yep. All right, so we're good.
All right, so we're good. I want to say Preacher. The trailer for Preacher
looks like
the freaking books.
Did you watch? I forget if you were watching with me.
What?
Preacher.
Oh, I liked it, but it was like,
I thought
stopped. No. I watched it. Of course I watched it. But I just didn't know why we didn't... It just seemed to me it was crazy that they spent that whole first season very stagnant, like,
it was
without
slow.
Knowing
it
if there was going
to
be a second season.
It took a while to build
season.
Up steam, but I think that they already... I feel like they had confidence that they were going to get a second
me
season,
too.
So I think that was intentional. It's kind of like, I mean, you go back and you see AMC's Walking Dead kind of did a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this had kind of the same kind of build. And then it's just, it gets crazier and crazier and crazier and snowballs.
I sure hope so, because it looks great. Somebody just said Dr. Fate on Legends Season 3. That would be really cool. Or Constantine. Constantine can definitely show back up again. We know that that's in the same world. We saw the Dr. Fate helmet on Constantine. That can all be in the same.
People just won't let go of Constantine. Keep bringing him back.
Because it was really good. Honestly, it was the last drama I watched on a major network.
Yeah.
I
watched it too.
Yeah.
Hashtag save Constantine.
Yeah.
Still going.
We're not giving up. I think that's all the news that's fit to report on.
Yeah, we got it.
Hopefully next week there'll be some more stuff to talk about. That's it.
All right, bye guys.
All right, so... We will tell you where you can find us. I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me all over the interwebs at Adam Gertler. Ladies?
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can also find me doing the Feud after show on Black Hollywood Live. Also doing Face Off tonight.
Oh, who's your Emmy pick?
You know, I think it's gonna be somebody from Feud, but I don't know if it's gonna be Susan Sarandon or Jessica. I kind of think Jessica Lange,
because she's, even though in an opposite of the roles that they play in the movie.
Yeah, because
Jessica Lange, I hate her so much.
Really?
I mean, because she plays it so well.
Not as an actress, he means in the role.
Oh, and as Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford is the most awful human ever.
Joan Crawford cosplay at WonderCon, and seeing Spider-Man standing next to Joan Crawford, I was like, this is an interesting year.
I think Bette Davis is better.
Really?
Yeah, as a person.
Yes. Joan Crawford was on the rocker.
I don't completely agree. I think that they're both like...
Okay, we're starting a new show. Anyway, we're segueing.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. That's where I tell you what I'm doing also.
All right, we'll see you guys next time on BC Bye Movie guys. News. So tell me, why do you think...
Yeah.
Why is...
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.